This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Well, not quite. Good morning. Hey, it's Glenn Leverinson for John today. Sarah's along for the ride as well, and we're glad to have you here too. Heading into a long holiday weekend in a couple of days. Hopefully this weekend will go fast for you if preparations for goofing off or travel or what have you. Got a good hour lined up for you. We're going to, of course, look at the aftermath of the Roe v. Wade decision. Alfonso Aguiar joins us before the hour is through, looking at some of the political and legal aspects behind that Roe decision being overturned. The latest from the Rome and as well as you just heard from Patrick Connolly with the news. We've got some new info from Pope Francis coming out today as well, and we'll get things started with a conversation John had yesterday afternoon here, and we're airing it for you right now for the very first time. John talking with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez about life after Roe in an abortion sanctuary state. So let's give a listen to John.
And good morning, Astrid. Thanks so much for joining us from Los Angeles. It's great to be with you once again, especially in these days after the historic overturning of Roe v. Wade.
I'm excited to speak to you and the Relevant Radio audience and to thank you for your prayers, your sacrifices. This is the fruit of so much work, so much prayer, so much trusting in God. And I think all of us just can't even describe the elation that we felt in that moment when we found out that Roe was overturned, that Dobbs was victorious. Just thinking of the lives that will be saved, thinking of the justice for those little ones that have perished and their parents. Our work, of course, is still ahead of us, but we're going to continue to work. But this was an incredible consolation from the Lord. So I think it's emboldening all of us to trust more, to work more. It really has renewed our confidence in God and in the victory that He has for us, because He has already won that victory.
And Astrid, it had to be especially gratifying to know that this victory came on the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus of all the days.
This movement is a movement of love. So it was so appropriate that it would be on that incredibly profound feast day. This is a movement that is working hard to help mothers, to love the children, love the mothers, love the parents, unite families, heal broken hearts that have been wounded from abortion. This is what the movement has always been about, because it is directly from the heart of our Lord. This comes from the heart of our Lord and our Blessed Mother. So this was so perfect. It was this decision had the signature of God on it. So we're still rejoicing, and we are just ready to work and continue to love and to help.
Well, Astrid, as you know, protesters in Los Angeles have been strongly protesting for days since the decision on Friday. What was the reaction in L.A. From both sides, from the pro-lifers and from the pro-abortion protesters?
Well, I think we were awaiting. We had received, you know, the threats from some abortion activists that the night of the ruling, which everyone expected it to come on the side of life, they would have a what they called a night of rage. And so in Los Angeles, not too far from our center, just about a mile east of us, in downtown, there were protests, and there were, thanks be to God, riot police helping to calm down the situation. But the protesters were there to attack the police, to destroy, to block the freeways, to just create a chaos and a melee. So that was happening very close to us. Thanks be to God, our pregnancy center, which we were guarding, was spared that night. We continued to be vigilant. We asked for your prayers. Every pregnancy center has been, you know, is right now under siege, and we want to ask for everyone to support your centers more than ever. Call them and ask them what do they need. just keep helping us, because our work is more critical than ever. We're still working hard to find women and mothers who need us. Now that in many states abortion is has been banned, has been limited largely, we know that women are going to be needing our services more than ever. And we know that the abortion industry is going to be promoting abortion more than ever, especially chemical abortion, pills, which right now make up half of abortions are through pills, pills that can be obtained through the mail. So the pro-life movement, the churches, we have to renew our commitment to life. I know many people were complaining they didn't hear anything at Sunday Mass about Roe versus Wade's victory. I'm sorry, being overturned and Dobbs' victory. But that's why we have to pray more than ever, talk to our pastors, see how we can help, see how we can renew our commitment, and especially reach out to those pregnancy centers. There are 3,000 of them across the country. See how you can link arms so that every pregnant mother knows she's not alone, that she has help, so she's not a victim of the lies of the abortion industry. You know, we know that here on earth we're going to be in an eternal battle, but we know that we are called and God will equip us to be able to help those mothers in need. Please do not hesitate to get involved now more than ever. The fight is not over. We are fighting for complete legal protection of the unborn and for a creation of a culture of life where every child is cherished, and every mother who is pregnant knows that she's blessed and that she is not alone. God is with her, and a vast pro-life movement is there to help her.
Well, Astrid, there's no doubt that the fight is far from over. There's so much work to be done, and especially in states like your state, like California, so-called abortion sanctuary state, with your governor, Gavin Newsom, staunchly supporting abortion rights. Can you talk about some of the challenges that the pro-life movement and especially the pregnancy centers and organizations like yours are going to be facing going forward?
Here in California, sadly, we have gone the wrong direction. Our governor, in preparation for the reversal of Roe, he has, you know, introduced, while his legislators have introduced, and he has supported numerous bills that are seeking to expand abortion in our state, to offer abortions to pregnant mothers that are from out of state in places where abortion is limited or banned, to come to our state, paid by the taxpayers, to have an abortion here. They call it a so-called sanctuary state of abortion. This is terrible. This is a clear call to Californians, Christians, people of goodwill, to fight this terrible onslaught of abortion. Their aim is literally, John, to expand abortion, increase abortion. So much for what they call a choice. They really do want to make it the number one choice for pregnant women, and they want to suppress pregnancy centers. They want to suppress our visibility online. This is what they want. They want for women who are pregnant to go to Planned Parenthood. We know that Planned Parenthood women are sold an abortion. They're pressured to have an abortion. So right now we are understanding that here in our state, we're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us to find ways, new ways of reaching pregnant mothers. And we're going to rely on the churches very much, because the churches are the places where naturally families should know about abortion alternatives. And we want to make these alternatives very compelling so that no woman ever feels lured to the lies and deception of a destructive abortion to destroy her child as an answer to her problems. If she comes to the center, we will help her. We will walk through her situation. The baby is never the problem. So that's one of the things that the pro-life movement is looking to do, is to help places like California, Illinois, New York, that have become these so-called sanctuary abortion states, to have more support in terms of reaching women that are pregnant and in a crisis, so that they will know that there is help, that their child is a blessing. And right now, I think for a long time, pregnancy centers have not had that visibility that they should have. And that's one of the best kept secrets, that the biggest part of the pro-life movement is a help arm, are the huge, huge army of pregnancy centers and people who are volunteering to help pregnant mothers to have their child. And we continue to walk with them after the child is born.
We're joined by Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, pro-life leader, the president of the VITA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Astrid, you have worked with Hispanic women for so many years. You know firsthand that they've been targeted by Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. What does a post-Roe world look like for these Latina women?
Abortion is a betrayal of women. Hispanic families love life. Love children. Immigrants come to this country, you know, for their families, for their children. So abortion is an antithesis of what Hispanic values have been. So it's a victory for Hispanic families. Their children are treasure. Children are treasure, and Hispanic families in particular are called to be missionaries in this country because we are instinctively pro-life. So we have to help Hispanic families not to lose those values and to understand the truth about Roe, because, John, the media in Spanish, the mainstream media is telling Hispanics that the reversal of Roe is a tragedy, that it is a sad day for America. It's confusing women. It's confusing Hispanic women in particular, making them feel frightened to be pregnant. So we have to work extra hard to reach out to the Hispanic community. And I promise you, you're going to have a very receptive audience, because many of us, we still hold on to those values. They have not gone away. You speak to them about their children, and you're going to be speaking straight to their heart. So speak to Hispanics plainly with the truth. Hispanics are very receptive to even abortion videos that depict what abortion does, like Live Action has on their website. Do not be afraid to speak very plainly with Hispanic families and audiences about abortion. They are, they can be great allies. We cannot lose that hope.
And Astrid, as LifeNews.com reported in Spain on Sunday, 100,000 pro-life people marched to demand an end to abortion. The mayor of Madrid, Jaime Oreja, said that the victory for life in the United States would inspire pro-lifers across the world to be united and active in restoring a culture of life. What do you think this victory means, not only for Spain, but for all of Latin America?
I've been getting messages from Latin American pro-life activists saying how encouraging it's been to see Roe versus Wade reversed. You know, when we speak about abortion in the United States, we always refer to that terrible day in January 22nd, 1973, when abortion was declared, wrongly declared, a constitutional right. And it opened the floodgates to so much abortion and abortion funding. And, you know, 60 million babies have been murdered. So for them, what happens in the United States has repercussions all over the world. So this monumental decision definitely gives them hope. So we have to keep on striving. We have to keep encouraged. Do not let the forces of evil threaten us, make us feel weak. This is the best time ever to get involved and to trust that we will see the end of abortion, that we are working not only for victory, but from victory, the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. So you're called to cooperate in that victory. So do not be disheartened. Do not listen to the lies, and help others see the truth. Only the truth is compelling. The lies are depressing. People that are for abortion, many are wounded. So we're also calling them to healing. We never discount anyone. We continue to hope that even those that are very, very misguided will join us one day, John.
We continue to hope and we continue to pray. And we're reminded that this is a win for mothers and for babies. Astrid, thanks so much for being with us. So much appreciated.
God bless you. And thank you, everyone.
Many blessings to you. Pro-life leader Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the president of the VITA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, with us here on Morning Air.
And it's a team effort today on Morning Air. Glenn in for John the rest of the way, along with Sarah today here on Morning Air. Still to come, brand new story corner for you. Before we're through, we'll check in with Alfonso Aguiar before the hour is through and get his take on Roe v. Wade and where we go from here. Coming up right around the corner, we'll go to Rome and talk with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, get the latest on what the Holy Father had to say today on a Wednesday in Rome, the latest on his health, and even a look at some of the fires that Italy dealing with as well. All coming up as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us today. It's Glenn in for John the rest of the way. Sarah along for the ride as well. Morning Air continues. We'll check in with Alfonso Aguiar before the hour is through. Another new story corner for you as well. But right now, all the way to Rome, and we say good morning and buongiorno to Ashley Nerona, our Relevant Radio Rome correspondent. Good morning, Ashley.
Thanks for coming all the way to Rome today. Great to talk to you, Glenn. Thank you.
Hey, through the magic of radio, we can do a lot of cool things as far as travel goes. Always great to check with you. Hey, before we dive into kind of the regular stuff we'll be chatting with today, just wanted to check with you. You know, of course, Roe v. Wade, such a big deal here in America and different parts of the world, offering, wanted or not, their response to that. But in the center of our Catholic faith, what's been the feeling or chat around Rome about, in the wake of Roe v. Wade?
Right. So you can imagine that both we're hearing from both sides. It happens to be that the side that is against the new Supreme Court decision has been quite loud in what they have to say. Basically, here in Italy, they're calling it a reversal of progress. They're saying that it's taking people back to the Dark Ages, and it's actually a foul-smelling wind that is blowing from the United States across the sea. So, yes, we've been hearing a lot of that. On the other hand, we also have been watching people rejoice within various Catholic circles, within various pro-life groups who have worked so hard over these years to see a day like this, Glenn.
Does that inspire pro-lifers on your side of the Atlantic there?
Yeah, I think so, because they've seen that it is possible. You know, pro-life is not necessarily discussed as a political issue as it is in the United States. It's not discussed to the same length or depth. And so they really have a different understanding of where the issue of life fits as far as morality coming into contact with politics. So for example, candidates wouldn't necessarily label themselves as pro-life or pro-choice, although you may know which side of the issue that they stand on. So it's definitely a different perspective that they have here. And hopefully this will continue to inspire lots and lots of prayers and a movement towards life in Italy.
Oh, amen to that, Ashley. Amen to that. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that snapshot. Just interesting to see always how America is perceived elsewhere. Always a little bit different than we perceive ourselves here as well. Mm-hmm. What was the Holy Father talking about today?
So indeed, today on this very special day, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, the Holy Father celebrated a Mass at St. Peter's Basilica today. And he reflected on the struggles, the imperfections of Saints Peter and Paul. And he said that we can really relate to the two saints, to those two patrons of Rome, because of their imperfections, because all of our journeys of faith are like that. But he said that Saints Peter and Paul provide an example for how to increase trust in the Lord, how to grow closer to him despite those difficulties. So today, Glenn, the Pope started by recalling the gospel today, which is, of course, according to St. Matthew. And Peter, of course, says to Jesus, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Pope said that it was with those words that a new journey began for Peter. And he pointed out that the two apostles, Peter and Paul, were on sort of like an apprenticeship of faith. And that's what we are all on, he said. In reminding that it takes time and patience and a lot of humility for any of us to change our ways of thinking and to act according to the gospel. And in fact, illustrating that, Pope Francis looked at Peter himself, and Peter, who just having declared his faith to the Lord, then turned around and rejected the idea that Jesus would have to suffer and be condemned to death. And so the Pope then asked a question of all of the faithful: in times of trial, what happens to your faith? He says, you know, you repeat the creed, you say it with faith, but when you're faced with the hard trials of life, very often everything seems to fall apart, including faith. And he said, sometimes people protest the Lord, they tell the Lord he's not right, they are instead. But he said, this is just a sign that we have to grow in maturity like Peter did. And Peter, who at first was horrified at the thought of the cross, of course, ended up being crucified on one himself, and by his request turned upside down. And then he looked at the Apostle Paul and the Paul's slow maturation of faith, how he also experienced uncertainty and doubt, how he had to come to terms with his failures and then go through so many constant torments and his journey of evangelization. And he said, the Pope said today that the journey of faith is never a walk in the park. It's going to be demanding, it's going to be hard work, and it's also going to be gradual. So he invited all of the faithful, when they profess their faith in Jesus Christ, to ask the question, am I saying this as though I already have it all figured out, or am I really speaking in humility? And then the question, in difficult trials, do I become discouraged and do I complain, or do I learn to make them an opportunity to grow in trust of the Lord? And finally today, Glenn, he prayed that the Virgin Mary, the Queen of Apostles, would teach all to imitate Peter and Paul by advancing every day on the path of faith, Glenn.
You know, that has to be just so poignant for him to be talking on the feast of the first pope, to be, you know, aware of those footsteps in which he follows. A beautiful That's message right. from Pope Francis today as well. How's the Pope's health doing?
Well, Glenn, you know, he's had a little bit of an improvement in these last days. In fact, in speaking to some Brazilian bishops, he said that for 3 days he was able to be out of the wheelchair and to walk only with a cane. So that is, of course, seen as a positive sign. He seemed to have some energy today, as, of course, he also, during the Mass, recalled the tradition of the blessing of the pallia, which is that liturgical vestment that's worn by the metropolitan archbishops, and it's a symbol of unity with the Pope. And today, during the Mass, he blessed the pallia, which up until since January have been sitting on top of the bones of Peter, on top of that tomb of St. Peter himself. He told the archbishops today, Glenn, that they're called to get up quickly in order to serve as vigilant sentinels over the flock. He invited them to fight the good fight, reminded them that they are never alone, because they are together with the holy and faithful people of God. And finally, Glenn, he invited all of the archbishops to journey together, because only together, he said, can the archbishops be the seed of the gospel and authentic witnesses of fraternity.
Ashley Nerona, the latest from Rome for us this morning as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio. No, the Holy Father's health, we're glad to hear that that's a little bit better, and that trip to Canada is still in the works. Huh?
Yes, it is. And even though he had to cancel Africa, he is sending Cardinal Parolin, the Secretary of State, in his stead. But at this moment, Canada is still planning to go on as scheduled.
Oh, very good, very good. We hope that continues to be the plan. Speaking of North America, some very, very sad news with over 50 migrants killed in the back of that truck in an effort to, you know, be hauled across the desert in 100-plus degree heat, and I know that was on the Holy Father's mind as well.
Yes, in fact, today he expressed his closeness to the victims of the tragedy, as well as publishing a tweet on Monday to his Pontifex account. And basically he was saying that in light of the news, he asked all to pray together for all of these brothers and sisters, and for their souls, and of course for their families. And he asked that the Lord would open hearts for all people, so that misfortunes like these might never happen again, Glenn.
Terrible tragedy, but definitely those folks kept mm-hmm. close in the heart of our Holy Father as well. The heat, a normal course of what's going on this time of year in that part of Texas and along the border area as well. A lot of heat, even more than usual in Italy right now.
Yes, we have actually been having one heat wave after the next. And as a result of that, the Italian Health Ministry has issued a red alert warning. And this is for most of the country's main cities, 27 cities, in fact. And today, tomorrow, the temperatures are going to continue to be above 100 as they've been these last few days. And so our current heat wave, which is just simply the latest in a series of heat waves, even though it's quite unusual for June, we're used to this more in July and August, but it has just exacerbated the drought crisis that's happening in Italy right now. And that's because after months of low rainfall and an extremely dry winter, this is the result. So, for example, the Po River, which is Italy's longest river, is at this point 80% lower than it usually would be right now. So the red alert indicates emergency conditions and, of course, invites people to stay indoors if they can, drink water, etc. Walk their dogs early or late at night. And the one thing, though, that I will tell you, Glenn, with all of the red alerts that have been going out, each one reminds that tourists should stay away from the city's historic fountains. No matter how hot it gets, don't jump in those monuments, because there are fines starting at €450 for anyone entering the waters of any of those ancient fountains, Glenn. But of course, it's because here in Rome, we have the Nassone, which are these fountains, these constant running drinking fountains in main areas. So people can always go up and free of charge, fill their water bottles with clean, pure water that is coming from an ancient aqueduct here. So fortunately, people still have that option, even if they can't take a dip in the Trevi Fountain, John. Or Glenn, sorry,
Glenn. Hey, Ashley, we know that things calm down a little bit in terms of official activity in the summer, in July and especially August. But yes, as far as for mm-hmm. tourism, you know, there's the heat to deal with. But, you know, between COVID and some of the restrictions and all of that being lifted now, has that kind of upended the tourist schedule a little bit? Do you find that there are more tourists than there used to be this time of year?
Well, you know, it's been kind of exciting because post-COVID, there has been a bit of a tourism explosion. People are coming back. And even this week, John and I have done 10-hour tours, long days, et cetera. And so what we do is we make sure that we're stopping all the time and giving people a chance to have a little break. We stop for gelato, whatever we need to do in order to cool down a bit, pop into an air-conditioned restaurant as a break. So it's kind of worked to find a nice happy medium between working with the heat and then still enjoying the nice cool treats of things like gelato and cold coffee, cafe freddo, that Italy has to offer, Glenn.
No, it sounds, Ashley, like you guys know how to do it there. Definitely, definitely.
That's right.
No, early in the morning here, America time, you know, one looks at things and has to look again at the list of notes to make sure we know what we're talking about. I had the song Moon River going through my head for just a moment, but I know we're going to talk about the Moon Rover being tested in Italy. How did that come about?
Well, Glenn, I'm not surprised, because I bet that is one of your favorite accordion hits. And with that, the Moon Rover, you'll have to change the words just a little bit, because can you believe this, Glenn? But here in Italy, the Moon Rover is actually taking some from very special passes over Mount Etna. So what's happening right now as we speak is that a German lunar analog study is going on, and they're focusing on robotic exploration using the Moon Rover itself. Why on Mount Etna, which is, of course, in Sicily? It's because there's a real similarity of the volcano with the surface of the moon. So this 700-pound, four-wheeled rover. Imagine that it's equipped with grippers and camera arms. It has a stereo camera mast. This is what everybody has their eye on. It's a four-week process. And during the project, they're going to look at the operations of the rover. They're going to look at technologies and what makes it possible for a sample return mission on the moon's surface to actually occur. So they're going to do testing involving an astronaut as well, with rover operations control room on Earth, what it would be like with an astronaut handling operations about 23 kilometers away. And in fact, what's happening here is that the control center is currently in the town of Catania, which is about 23 kilometers away from where the rover is now. The rover is about 2,600 meters high right now on the slopes of Mount Etna. And so they're operating these remote control situations to simulate what it will be like for astronauts. And to give you a little background, Mount Etna, which is on the east coast of Sicily, in the metropolitan city of Catania itself, it's one of the tallest active volcanoes in Europe. And in fact, last year, over a six-month period, because of so much eruption, it actually increased by height by 100 feet. So it's the tallest peak in Italy that's south of the Alps. It's about 11,000 feet. And apparently walking on Mount Etna is a lot like walking on the moon, Glenn.
Oh, very good. You know, I know they've tested space things for years in the American Southwest, but you got to wonder how much of a compliment it is or not for a country to be seen as similar to the moon in terms of testing things. But, oh, that makes great sense. And I think I have, the lunar rover close to my heart, because I recall in the 1970s, yes, last time we were all up to the moon, and not all of us, but just a select few American astronauts, right? But I was in the hospital getting my tonsils out when the guys were driving around for the first time on the moon. So I recall that with great fondness, or at least a good way to take my mind off of my throat, you know, in between servings of, well, not gelato, but regular ice cream. But hey, there we go.
Finally,
on the Feast of St. Peter and Paul here. Now, once again, in Italy, it's more than just a church celebration, too.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's a national holiday here. It's a public holiday. And so that means shops, businesses, offices are closed today. And of course, we are remembering the martyrdom of the apostles, Saints Peter and Paul, which has always been commemorated to have happened on the same day. And it's such an incredible blessing to be in this amazing city, because we have the bodies, the tombs of both of these great saints. We all know where St. Peter is, inside of the Basilica of St. Peter, but St. Paul, of course, is in the Church of St. Paul outside the walls. Now, normally what would happen on this day is the famous, wonderful Infiorata, which goes on in front of St. Peter's Basilica. And so after the mass that was held today in the church, and after the Pope prayed the Angelus, pilgrims would then walk along the Via della Conciliazione, that long street that leads up to St. Peter's, and walk through these wonderful murals, which had been created on the ground. So imagine that they draw the outline with chalk, and then they fill it in with organic materials like fruits and flowers and all these wonderful things to create the fabulous colors. Sadly, it was canceled this year, but we're really holding out and hoping for next year. And in the meantime, tonight, Rome will celebrate with a huge fireworks display, which is traditionally in Piazza del Popolo. And so it's a wonderful, exciting thing to see. And Glenn, I have to ask you, do you have any idea who first came up with the idea of fireworks?
Well, was it a Chinese invention, as we've heard?
Well, one might think, apparently, Michelangelo came up at least with his own sort of Italian version of these fireworks, and then wanted to have them in Piazza del Popolo. So that is the word on the street. And then Bernini later perfected the spectacle, and then the Girandola fireworks spectacle, 1481, and has inspired writers and artists through the centuries. Dickens, Belli, these writers have talked about this amazing fireworks spectacle that was D'Angelo and perfected by Bernini right here in Bella Roma. So this is something that everybody's looking forward to tonight as a way to celebrate this special feast day, Glenn.
Oh, you make Rome sound so fun so amazing, as it certainly is. We always appreciate your update from Rome. Ashley and Arona joining us, and you can always find out more about what Ashley is up to, too, and take advantage sometime on that opportunity to learn more about Rome with Ashley and John. Thank you so much, Ashley, and we look forward to our next update for you. And in the meantime, enjoy however Americans celebrate the 4th of July when they're away from the States as well this coming weekend. There's more on the way. We continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, News Story Corner, before the hour is through. And right around the corner, we'll talk with Alfonso Aguiar about the political and the legal fallout after the Roe v. Wade decision from the Supreme Court. That's all coming up next here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Things roll on. It's Glenn in for John today. Sarah along as well. Story Corner coming up in a few. News headlines at the top of the hour. Right now we check in with Alfonso Aguilar, regular guest here on Morning Air. He's a lawyer, a political analyst, and president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. And we want to say good morning, Alfonso. Great to have you along today.
Good morning, Glenn. A pleasure to be with you.
Well, what more interesting stuff to talk about than an overturning of Roe v. Wade? How did that news hit you on Friday?
Well, huge news. Obviously, we were expecting it after the leak of the draft opinion, but it's still a shocker, right? It's a landmark moment in American history. I didn't think it was going to happen in my lifetime, and it did. And it's a great victory for life. Now we can go to the states and try to ban abortion or restrict it greatly. And that's a fight, a new chapter in this fight for the right to life that I welcome, and those who believe in the right to life welcome. And then I think it's also a big victory for democracy and the Constitution. It's not an ideological decision. The court is not saying that abortion will be banned at the federal level. It's saying that abortion is not contemplated in the Constitution, is not mentioned in the Constitution. So the court does not have a role on that issue, and it should be decided by the people through their elected representatives. So I know many in the left and Democrats, including President Biden, are saying that this is an extremist court. But what they did is anything but extremist. It's actually a legal decision saying this is not a matter for the court. This is a matter for the states.
You know, being that we are on the radio here, sometimes it gets a little old if we're, pounding on other media. We're part of the media, too, but we're not like all media. But I can't get away without getting your opinion a little bit on, you know, what we're hearing from the mainstream media about this decision. I think Vladimir Putin has gotten better press than Clarence Thomas in the last week. My goodness, were you, you know, as much as we anticipate the mainstream media to be on the left, were you surprised by about the 99.5% negative coverage about this decision?
Well, it's truly incredible, as you say. I mean, we've known that traditionally the media, the mainstream media, has a liberal bias. But we're seeing now journalists that are committed to a leftist ideology, and the coverage has just been very unfair, very biased, attacking the court, again, calling it extremist, and not really objectively analyzing what the court did. It was not an ideological decision. They did not take a position on abortion. I think also they're doing a disservice to the people. They're not clarifying what the ruling is all about. You know, President Biden and Nancy Pelosi said that the court now could go after same-sex marriage and contraception. The ruling, Alito is very specific that the case is exclusively, the ruling affects exclusively the issue of abortion. Yet the media hasn't been very clear about that point that Alito makes. But it's just really incredible how they've gone after Clarence Thomas is incredible. To be fair, Clarence Thomas is not he didn't write the opinion. It was Justice Alito. He wrote concurrent opinion, expressing his point of view that if there is no right to abortion under the 14th Amendment, then there shouldn't be a right to contraception or to same-sex marriage, that those are issues that should be decided at the state level through the political process. That wasn't, he wasn't taking a position on those issues. He was just saying that the Constitution is silent about those things. Yet he was, he's been attacked aggressively by the media. It's just really incredible and just very unfair. You know, Biden said that this wasn't a balanced decision. Again, this was totally balanced. They're not imposing anything on anyone. They're saying, let the people decide. It's democracy. Don't they believe in democracy? So I don't know. I think this is another great win. We know that there are over a dozen or 13 states that have a trigger laws, so that now abortion is banned in those states. So you're going to have some states, unfortunately, like California and New York, that perhaps will go beyond what Roe versus Wade established, and that's sad. But this makes such a big statement that, you know, there is no right to abortion. Think about it. Roe versus Wade is not the law of the land anymore. Dobbs is. And now we can go to the states. It's a great victory. And let me tell you, it's a great victory internationally. It wasn't only the media attacking the court. It was also international leaders, the French President Macron, Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, saying that this was a step backwards in women's rights. Well, this is not an issue of their concern. We're a sovereign nation. Why should they be commenting on a decision from the Supreme Court of the United States? But I'll tell you, it sends a message to the world that in America, life matters. And I have to say, this is a great also political victory, because, as you know, this has been first of all, it's a victory for our Lord, right? We've been praying about this for a very long time. The decision came out, on the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I think our Lord sent a clear message to us that he was behind this. But, you know, it's been decades, 50 years of great activism, political activism. And I have to also recognize President Trump, because without his decision to appoint three great textualist justices, we would have not had this decision.
Alfonso, in addition, this brings up the conversation in so many of our private lives as well. Do we do well to be equipped to have that decision, to talk a little bit about life, not ready to or looking forward to wading into an argument, but just gently pointing folks to the fact that life is what we get from the Lord, and that's his will. And, you know, this brings up that opportunity to gently talk about it, and especially moving forward in light of more and more abortions done via abortion pill, it becomes more of a private matter. And so there won't be that opportunity maybe for sidewalk counselors to talk to someone before they go in for a procedure like there is now. But to be able to be that friend, that friend who might be abortion-minded will confide in, and you can speak truth to them.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, and that's a trend. You know, chemical abortion, I think today perhaps over 50%, I think, abortions may be due to chemical abortion. So I think that's going to grow. I think that should be there should be legislation to control that or to ban it. but let's see where we're going to go in that front. You know, I think it's very important as Catholics to be clear that the Church says very clearly that abortion is a moral evil, objectively. That is the teaching of the Magisterium. Because another thing that I saw during these past days is talking heads on mainstream networks, you know, prefacing their comments saying, I'm Catholic, but I'm for abortion. Well, you know, I can't judge people's hearts, but being for abortion is fundamentally a non-Catholic position. So those who say they're Catholic, they have to understand that the Church clearly teaches that this is a moral evil. And as Catholic, we have to defend the unborn. And so, you know, they may say they're Catholic, but their position on abortion is certainly not Catholic. So we have to educate our fellow Catholics. And then, you know, go into the debate with in a very compassionate way and have this debate. You know, it's certainly not only about religion. This is a question of natural law and even science. Science points to the unborn being a person. We know that from genetics, that from the very beginning, the person that is conceived, the fetus has the DNA, his personality already coded in the fetus's DNA, in the unborn's DNA. So clearly that's a person, and science points to that. But then based on reason and common sense, we know that it's a living organism and that it's life. We cannot just arbitrarily do away with it. So that's the argument that we have to make. The only argument that the left is making is that this is about a woman's, you know, right to control her own body. Well, that sounds great, but what happens when you have another body within you? And that's the argument that they don't want to respond to. I found the debate in the media very superficial, deceptive, and so it is our job to educate fellow Americans and fellow Catholics, and that's why the work that you're doing is so important to educate people. And a lot of people that are listening may agree with us, but we should encourage them. Now, this is a new chapter in the battle of life. Everybody has to get involved. So talk to your neighbor in a very compassionate, civil way and have this conversation and explain to them, you know, what the decision is all about, and engage them in a very compassionate and civil way about why it's so important to defend the right to life.
It could be a good thing. This will come up. It's looking to be a major Democratic issue for the fall elections. And anytime the conversation can be brought up and we can be equipped to wade into that conversation and get people to think a little bit about what life really means, where it begins, and the fact that, well, there's more than one body involved there, to get people to think about that a little bit. Just a quick minute left, Alfonso, but last word on what we ought to be doing and thinking moving forward in this battle.
I think moving forward is very important to follow what happens at your state right now. States are right now analyzing how to respond to this. It's very important to communicate with your legislators to send a message that you want abortion banned. There shouldn't be any exceptions. Life is life, regardless of if it has been the product of a terrible tragedy. It's still life. And understand also that, you know, for the midterm elections, this may help energize the leftist base, and that may help Democrats. But this is also going to energize pro-life voters. They're going to come out and vote for candidates who believe in the right to life and believe in the family.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've talked that most likely within a few months things will shake out. So about half of the states will be a spot where abortion is legal and about half illegal. But that can change. That's the thing with it. Going back to the states, elections do matter. We've heard that saying. They certainly do. And they can change things for life as well. So we need to continue to keep that in prayer and keep working hard as well. Alfonso, thank you as always. Look forward to our next visit coming up in a bit, Lord willing. Morning Air continues right now here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app with a look at today's Story Corner. In our story today called When Parents Get Old. Let them grow old with the same love they let you grow. Let them speak and tell repeated stories with the same patience and interest they heard your stories as a child. Let them overcome, like so many times when they let you win. Let them enjoy their friends just as they let you. Let them enjoy the talks with their grandchildren because they see you in them. Let them enjoy living among the objects that have accompanied them for a long time because they suffer when they feel that you tear pieces of this life away. Let them be wrong, like so many times you've been wrong and they didn't embarrass you by correcting you. Let them live. Let them try to be happy during this last stretch of path that they have left to go. Give them your hand, just like they gave you their hand when you started on your path. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. That's our story today. If you'd like to hear it again, it's available in podcast form on the Relevant Radio app and on the Relevant Radio website, relevantradio.com, along with lots of other great things. Also, the text and audio available on the Glenn Story Corner Facebook page for you each day as well. And we always welcome your suggestions for the Story Corner. So something you've written or just come across, we'd love to hear from you. You can mail us those suggestions. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. Morningair@relevantradio.com. Morning Air continues coming up in the next hour. The signs of a super employee. That's right. We often talk about how to do management. We're going to talk about how to do being a good employee with Dave Durand. Coming up before the hour is through, right around the corner, more talk about the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul with Father Marcel Tyone. That's all on the way. Stay tuned. More of Morning Air coming up. It's Glenn in for John today, along with Sarah, here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.